Thank you that we can call you Father through the cross. Jesus died so that we can have a relationship with you, Father. Thank you that we can worship you, Lord, that we can praise your name, that we can glorify your name. Thank you, Father, that we begin here together to listen to you again, to what is on your heart, that we can receive from you, Father. Thank you, Father. We can only say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with a very difficult question. And I'm going to ask you to share with the person next to you what is your resolution for 2017? What have you got? Would you say, okay, that's my resolution for 2017. So share it with the person next to you. You don't have to write it down. I'm not going to ask you about it. I'm going to tell you just now what we're going to do with it. So just share it with the person next to you and say, okay, that's my big one. Don't mention all 10 of them, all 20. Just the big one. Just share quickly. So you most probably have got idea of what your neighbor is thinking and what they've got on mind for 2017. I'm going to ask you to put that on a back burner and then we can chat a little bit about it later, if necessary. The word that I got, what I've got to preach about is God first. Yeah, today is the first day. The first month in new year and God first. So yeah, if we hear the word first, then we always think about, okay, what is actually first? All of us want to be first. If we take a look at the sportsmen and the sportswomen, they don't do anything else than exercising to become first. All of them who start the Tour de France, all of them who start Wimbledon, all of them who start with the World Cup soccer and anything like that, it's always to become first. Because otherwise, if you haven't got a goal, if you haven't got that you want to become first, why are you starting then? If you say, okay, now I'll be happy with the second place or the third place, I don't think it's like that. I think if you ask all those people who are participating there at the Tour de France, then all of them will say they think they can become number one this year. And that's why they're exercising. So that number first is not unknown to us. It's continuously that we've got it in our minds. It keeps us busy on the different places where we always want to be number one. Of those who are fortunate and now and then go onto a plane, it's always interesting to see who are first in the line, who wants to be first on the plane. Half an hour before the boarding start, they're already standing in a queue over there. They want to be first in the plane. Any guilty people here? No, don't show hands. I'm one of them as well. And before the plane is nearly, I would say, landing or standing still, the guy already jumps up and throws off his seatbelt. He wants to be first out. It's always first, always first. That's always what we want to do. It's like that we've got it built in ourselves. First in the class, first in the team, being part of the first team and so on. If I think about first in my life, then the thing what popped up with me is, I'm one of 9 children, and then when we went to the dentist, at least 6 or 7 of us went together at once. And then the dentist would come into the waiting room, and then he would say, who's first? So who's going to first, who's going to, from the six or the seven who we were over there, who's going to be first. And then it was the one after the other one, after the other one, after the other one, till all of them were done. And then we went home, and indeed we didn't speak to each other when we went home. We were just quiet, and all of us had our necessary things which had to be done on us. But that, yeah, that first is continuously, how should I say, busy with us. It's keeping us busy. But there are also a few things in the Bible where it's talking about first, and that's what I would like to stand still a little bit this afternoon, and then the thing as well with God first. The first scripture what I would like to go to, because I'm going to take a few scriptures, and I'm going to maybe jump a little bit around, it looks like it. But let's say those are the ingredients for the oliebollen. So later on, once we put all the ingredients together, then we can see, okay, now we've got something. Okay, everybody knows what oliebollen is? Yeah, all right, okay, you've got it. First scripture I would like to go to is Isaiah 44, verses 6. And there it says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Besides me, there's no other God. And there's God putting it, he's first. He's speaking through Isaiah over there. He's the first and he's the last. Besides me, there is no other God. That's a statement which I think we cannot argue about. And I think also if we believe that, and if we put it in our hearts, and we know that that is, that God is first in our lives, there is no place for anything else. Because before number one, there is nothing. It's first number one. And then that one of being first is not... we can find it in a few other scriptures in Isaiah as well. And one which is also very well known, more or less the same, but we find it in Revelations. And that's then where we see in Revelations 1 verses 8 where it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And if we believe that, that God was there long before, he's now here and he's going to be there forever, then we can also believe that those promises, what God is making to us, that he says, if we accept Jesus Christ, we can be with him forever and ever. Because if we put question marks behind these type of statements, what we read in the Bible, then we must probably also going to put question marks behind, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? But we know for sure, because these type of statements, this is what we've got. God is first, and he's the last. There's no other God beside him. And he's the Alpha, and he's the Omega. And that's why we should put him first in our lives. Jesus is also talking about first. He's talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. And the scripture that I would like to read over there is the one in Matthew, where he was talking to his disciples. In Matthew 5, Jesus is talking about the blessings. And just after the blessings, he's talking about the salt and the light, the well-known examples what we are aware of. Then he's talking about our Father, and then he's talking about gathering treasures on earth. And then he's saying also that the treasures on earth, they are going to rust, and moth is going to come over there, and they're going to become thieves, and it's going to be stolen, and that we shouldn't gather treasures on earth, but that we should gather treasures in heaven. And then Jesus starts, once he's said all that, and he says, Therefore, do not gather those treasures. Therefore, do not worry and say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all, these things the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles, they are seeking that. They are looking to find out what should we eat, what should we wear, and what shall we drink. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, the 2nd of January. Do not worry about the 3rd of January. For tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, they will worry about themselves. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble. So that Jesus is saying over there that we shouldn't put our faith in the treasures, what we're getting together on earth, but that we should build treasures and get treasures in heaven, and that we shouldn't worry of what we're going to eat or drink, that we should first put the kingdom of God first. And then he's saying also something over there, that word just before it, seek first the kingdom of God. We've got to seek it. We can pray, and we can pray day and night and sit and say, Lord, give me your kingdom, give me your kingdom, give me your kingdom. But we've got to seek it. We've got to look for it. We've got to ask God, what must we do? Because it's not passive that we've got to be. We've got to be active. We've got to do something. And that's where he's talking about the seek then. So if you put the kingdom of God first today, then I think the rest of our year is going to look a little bit different. Then it's also the first, that word first has been used as well, what Jesus used when he was responding to a question, where they asked him, what is the first commandment of all? Jesus was in a type of a conversation with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they were asking questions, and he was giving answers, and it was going up and down, up and down. And then a guy stood up, one of the scribes. Now the scribes is one of those who was studying the Old Testament, because the Jews only have got the Old Testament, so they knew exactly what was standing over there. And he was now standing up, and he was asking the question, which is the first commandment of all? And then Jesus answers him. He says, the first commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. That is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. I had a little bit of a look on verse 31 where it says, and the second, like it. Certain translations have got it, certain translations haven't got it. But I'm not going to argue about it. I think it is as equal important. The one is linked to the other one, and we can see that there's a connection between the two, between the first and then what the second is concerned over there. So that is the answer what Jesus is giving then to that scribe, to that, they must probably say it's a Pharisee who asked that that question over there, and that he asked, and then Jesus replied then to him. And then the scribe answered, and he said, well said, teacher, because they could see him as a teacher. They also would say he's a rabbi, he's got knowledge. You've spoken the truth. Then if we take a look at that, Jesus has been speaking now to a person who hasn't done his whole life nothing else than studying the Bible. And then Jesus is replying to him, Jesus the carpenter coming now and giving this type of answers, which is really correct. And then the guy also confirms this again and then repeats it. And then he says something else, he adds something to it. He says, it's more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Because the question what he was asking is, what is first, what is most important? And the Jewish people thought that making offerings was the most important commandment. And then if you did offerings, then the other would follow. So he was asking a question to Jesus, and what was commonly accepted, that Jesus would answer, say, okay, offerings is very important, but then Jesus comes with an answer which is a little bit different. And this guy confirms it, and he says, yes, it is correct what you're saying. That answer what you say is that we should love our God first is more important than the whole offerings and sacrifices. And then Jesus also adds to it, you're not far from the kingdom. You know what you've got to put first in your life. This is what Jesus then is saying then to the scribe over there. And that answer what Jesus has got is based on two scriptures. The one scripture is coming out of Deuteronomy, and then the other scripture is coming out of Leviticus. That first part is coming out of Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 and 5, where it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with out of your strength. And then it goes a little bit further, and it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you are sitting at your house. So that that this is the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the God, is not something what you should hide and what you should keep secret, but you've got to teach your children about it. You've got to speak about it when you are at home, when people are visiting you, when you're walking by the way. So if you're taking a bus to the town, then you can speak to somebody about it. When you're lying down and when you're rising up, you shall bind them on your hands and then also on the frontlets between the eyes. You shall write them on your doorpost of your house and also your gates. And maybe that some of you have visited Jewish people. When you stand in front of the door on the doorpost, you will see there's a symbol over there. And this is where it's coming from. And then it says also at your gates. And not the gates to the house or the gates to the parking area, but the gates when you enter the town. So that if the people are coming over there, that they can see. But the Lord is being served over here. The Jewish people see this scripture as one of the most important parts of the scripture, because it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." The Lord our God is one Lord. And what the Jewish people are doing it, they are reciting this twice a day, when they're standing up in the morning and when they go to bed in the evening. So they're using it twice. Twice a day they say this verse. And twice a day, when they are saying this verse, they will pray before it, they will pray after it. So each and every time when they're going to stand up in the morning or when they're going to lay down in the evening, they're using the scripture. You also see it as a type of a summary of the religion, because the basic principle of faith is laying in here, that Lord is God, and that you should love God, and that we should be faithful to that, and that we should be obedient to that. And it also tells that it's a child which is honoring the parent, because we as a child of the Father, if we say these type of statements, "You're God, you're number one, we love you," and this is a child telling that to a parent, so then we also can see there's a relationship between the parent and the child. And then there's something else as well. If we take the Lord as a king and we take him as a prince, I don't think there's ever been a king or ever been a prince who asked his subordinates to love him. Never. They will always say, "You must do this and that and that and that." But there's never one who said, "You shall love the Lord. Love the Lord." He never said it. I don't think that Willem-Alexander over here in the Netherlands will say in one of his statements over there that the Dutch people must love him. No. We don't see it. It's only with the Lord that the Lord is asking that we should love him, that we should care about him. And then there's another thing that I would like to elaborate a little bit later on, a little bit more. If we take a look at what Jesus has been saying and what is mentioned over here in Deuteronomy, then there's one difference over there. Because over here it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with your soul, and with your strength." And when Jesus replied, he added something else as well. He added mind. But I'll speak a little bit about that one later. So that is the one part where Jesus was getting his answer from. He was got it out of Deuteronomy. But then the other part, he got it out of Leviticus. Leviticus is talking about the neighbor. And in Leviticus 19, verse 18, we can see then where it's where it was written down, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of the people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." We love ourselves. I don't think we've got any problem with that, because the money what we're earning, we're spending it on ourselves. We even borrow sometimes from the bank as well to buy houses and to buy cars, but which is showing we love ourselves. If it wasn't the case, I haven't seen anybody earning money and giving everything away to the neighbor because he didn't want to look after himself. No, I haven't seen that person yet. All of us will earn money, spend it ourselves and our family. So if we love ourselves, how we care for ourselves, how we spend time and money on ourselves, the Lord is asking, we shall love our neighbor exactly the same. We should look with the same point of view, with the same way we should look at him. And it's not only for us in our in a church, what the church is concerned, how we should look as a church to other people, but it's also in our individual cases. How I look to my neighbor next to me is important as what, as a church, we take a look at the whole area, what Utrecht is concerned. Again, now I've got, these are now a few scriptures which I got, like I said, with the word first, which are a few of those ingredients for the oliebollen. Now I'm jumping a little bit around and I'm going to take a look at Moses. Moses also put God first because he didn't want to go anywhere without him. He wanted to go, the Lord to go along with him. And Moses was, he was a little bit of another guy. He really spoke to the Lord as a friend to a friend. It also says in the Bible, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp. So he really wanted to be having special time with the Lord, that nobody was disturbing him, nobody was bothering him, that he could separate himself. And he called it also the tabernacle of the meeting. And then Moses would go to the tabernacle, and then a pillar of cloud would descend and would stand at the door of the tabernacle, and then the Lord would speak then to Moses. And then all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and they worshipped him, each man in his own tent door. And then the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And this is awesome, that privilege what Moses had, that he could speak face to face, friend to friend. That was in the Old Testament. We can do it today. We can do it exactly the same. We also can have that relationship through Jesus. We can speak to God like that. And then Moses is asking a question, because he was a little bit worried, and then he was asking a question. And he was asking the Lord, and he said, whom will you send along with me? Because Moses had to take these people now into Israel. And then he's asking the Lord, whom will you send with me? And then the Lord is replying to him in Genesis 33, 14 and 15. And then the Lord said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So Moses was asking, okay, is it now Joshua? Who else is going along with me? And then the Lord is answering, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to the Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us from here. So there Moses is saying, if you're not going along, I don't want to go. I don't want to go anywhere with all these Israelites if you're not going along with me. So the Lord promised that he was going along with Moses. The Lord is also promising us exactly the same. If we're standing at the beginning of a new year with the year in front of us, the Lord wants to go along with us. But we've got to ask him. We've got to invite him into our lives. And now I'm asking the question, yeah, with what mind and with what in our mind are we going to start 2017? Because I just now said that Jesus added that word mind to the answer what he gave. The first one was the heart, the soul, and the strength. And then when he answered, he added the mind. He added the thinking, because the mind is our will, the thinking, and emotion. And it means that we've got to be like-minded. We've got to think exactly the same as what Christ is thinking. So our mind, which is done our will or thinking and emotions, has got to be exactly the same as Christ-like. So that's another ingredient I actually would like to say, which is necessary. The scripture what I would like to quote over there is Philippians 2 verses 5, where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that we think exactly the same as what Jesus has been thinking. In Corinthians we find exactly the same. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we've got the mind of Christ. So we can see what actually what Christ has been doing. The example was over there. So we've got to be thinking exactly the same as what Christ has been thinking. We've got to do exactly the same as what Christ has been thinking about and doing. And we've got to be Christ-minded, Christ-like, to be, yeah, to think exactly the same and to be also become one with Jesus Christ. And this is the next scripture what I would like to go to. It's the one from John 17, 20, and 21, which is also a theme for the Shofar Church for this year, that we become one. And we can only become one if we are like-minded, if we think the same, and if we know that we are included. Because if we feel that we are excluded, we cannot become one. And John 17 is actually an awesome prayer of intercession, what we can see from Jesus Christ over there. The first part, he's praying for himself. That's from 1 to 5. And then from 6 to 19, he's praying for the disciples. And then he's praying for all the believers. And they sometimes call that intercession, what Jesus is doing over here, they call it the eternal intercession. It's an intercession which is carrying on, and carrying on, and carrying on. There's no end to it. And then Jesus is saying there, I do not pray for these alone. And that's what he means over there. He's not praying for these disciples alone, but I'm also praying for those, which is referring to us, who will believe in me through their words. Because we believe in what other people have been telling us, what other people have been telling them, what the disciples have been telling them. So it's actually a type of a reaction which has been created, but it has been created by Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, teached his disciples, learned them what to do, and they went on, and they went on, and at the final end, it landed up with us over here. So Jesus is praying for us as well. I do not pray for the disciples alone, but I also pray for those. I also pray for the people in the Shofar Church who will believe in me through their word, through the words what we've received from the apostles, that they may all be one, which means that everyone can be one. The disciples plus us as well, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that together with Jesus that we can be one, that we are not excluded, but that we are included, we are together one. Like it also says, the church is one body, of which Christ is the head. We are one with him. And now we're coming back to what I've started with, what the sermons is, and I asked about the resolutions, what you had for 2017, and you don't have to put up your hand, but most of your resolutions were maybe one of these over here. I don't think that smoking and drinking is such a problem over here with the people, but of the others that you say, yeah, well, that is, those are the type of things what's coming up when we're talking about resolutions. But the resolution what I actually would like to go to is not a material resolution. It's not a resolution for looking horizontal, but I'm looking for the resolution for looking vertical, looking up to God and putting God first. And that resolution is, I think, much more important, because I think the other type of things will all fall into place if your main resolution is in line and if your main resolution is in place. And it means we put God first, and really, really first. We put God first when we speak to other people. If we go back again to that, we can go to the next one. What I've done from the scriptures, what we've been speaking about just now, I basically put a line for each and every one over there. So you can say, yes, there are the ingredients for the olive oil over there. So we can go them one by one. We can quickly go through them. If we put God first, we haven't got a problem in our life to confess it with our mouth, to speak it into the spiritual realm, to confess to other people what God is doing in our lives. We shouldn't have a problem with it. We can do it exactly the same as the Jewish people. We can do it twice a day. We can do it in the morning, and we can do it in the evening, to condition ourselves, that we continuously remind ourselves that God is important, is what the Jewish people also were aware of. The next one is putting his kingdom first. Seeking, that we seek his kingdom first. Like I said, we're not going to be passive, but that we're going to be active, that we're going to seek the kingdom of God, that we're going to ask God and say, okay, what is it? What has got to be done? I don't want to put my worries first. I want to find out what your kingdom is. I want to know what your kingdom, what can I do for your kingdom? What is your plan for that? The next one is that one from Mark, where Jesus was replying then, where he said, first of all, the commandments is that you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's the first commandment. So that we really love him first, that we really put it as part of our resolution, as part of putting God first, that we love Him. Because He loved us first. And we've got to return that love relation that we've got with Him. We've got to love Him first. Not if it's going good, then I've got time for the Lord. Or, Lord, just wait, I still have got to do this and this. Or when I'm 25, Lord, just wait. First, I've got to get 30. I've got to get married and settled and 3 children. And then when I'm 35, I'll become a member of the church. No, it has got to start ASAP. Nothing later. So love Him first. There's no waiting for that. God, we need Your presence. We've got to invite Him into our lives. And when we start, the same as what Moses said, he doesn't want to carry on. He doesn't want to start anything if he doesn't know from the Lord that the Lord is going along with him. That we will react exactly the same with 2017. That we say, Lord, I don't want to start 2017. If you're not going along, if your presence is not going along with me, then I don't want to start with 2017. We want to think like Christ. We want to be like-minded. Like the verses what I said about Philippians and Corinthians, that our will, our thinking, and our emotions are going to be exactly the same as what Jesus did. That we can understand what is actually happening, the way Jesus reacted in certain situations, the example what we've got from him, that we can see that we can learn from that. The disciples spent 3 years plus with him. They had an intern, what they did over there. And when they're ready, they've been sent out. And we can also read what is what they've been writing into the Bible as well. We can read about it as well in the Gospels, how they walked along with Jesus and how they saw what Jesus did over there and how important it was. And then the last one is that we should be one with God and that we shouldn't forget that Jesus is praying for us. He's interceding for us continuously and that we can be one. So if we add now all these ingredients together and we mix it, then we've got a resolution. Then we've got something where we can start for what 2017 is concerned. Now that sounds a little bit confusing. But I feel there's a key. And there's a key, and if we use that key, then all these things what I've been talking about just now, what I said, that we've got to confess and that we've got to put him first and we've got to love him first and we've got to ask for his presence to go along with us and that we think exactly the same and that we are one along with him. There's one key what I feel which is there, what we should ask. And if we start with that question and if we're getting answer from the Lord, then we understand these type of things. Then we can say, okay, this is my resolution. Now I understand what's actually going on. We are first in God's eyes. We are the most important in God's eyes. And that's something what we shouldn't forget. It is happening most of the time that we think we're not so important, that maybe God only has got on a Friday time for us. Yeah. Each and every day, 24 hours a day, we can come to him and we can speak to him. He loved us so much. He gave his only son. So he's always available. We can always go to him. And if we go to the Lord then and we say, Lord, show me how you see my place where I'm staying. How do you see Utrecht? We've been singing about dark place and that we can bring the light over here. If we can see, if the Lord is showing us that Utrecht is a dark place, then we've got to be the light. Then we've got, that's part of our resolution. That's part of the things what we want to do over here. And how the Lord is going to use us in the plan to approach the dark area and to bring light over there. Then that's the way we're going to do it. We're asking him for guidance over there. In my work, if I enter my work, how am I going to see my work? I'm going to ask the Lord and say, Lord, show me. Show me, how do you see my work? And I can nearly guarantee you that the Lord is going to tell you that your work is a field where you can sow and where you can harvest. It's a place where you can work spiritually, where you can mean something. It's not a matter of earning money, that you can pay tithing, that you can pay off the house, and that you can start next month again. Mm-mm. Your work is also a place where you can make a difference, where you can be a tool in God's hand over there. So that we can ask the Lord and say, show me, Lord, in my work, how do you see it? And where can I be contributing? My neighbor, the people around me, people with whom I'm mixing, the people who I see in the bus, in the train, how do you see those people? And maybe you must do it. Sit in the bus and pray and say, Lord, how do you see these people? What can I do? And by going that way, by really asking the Lord, I think the Lord is going to show to you. Say, okay, that person is maybe that need, or that person has got that need. Even if you just walk maybe past one person and just tap them on the shoulder and just say, enjoy your day. It could mean so much, we don't know. But we don't know it if we don't ask it. So that we ask the Lord and say, Lord, please show me. Please show me, what are those people? What are their needs? What do they need? What can I bring? My family, my brothers and my sisters, those people who are in my family. In our case, like I already said, I've got more than one brother and sister. So there are quite a few of them that I can pray and I can ask and say, Lord, how do you see my brother and sister? What is what they need? And that can be my resolution for 2017, that I'm going to hear by the Lord, how is he seeing my brother and sister, so that I can do what the Lord wants me to do for my brother and for my sister. My wife, my husband, for those who are privileged to be married. Yeah, pray. Ask the Lord, that the Lord is going to show you how the Lord is seeing your husband, or how the Lord is seeing your wife. And if you get an answer then it's so much easier to give your wife what your wife is needing, to give your husband of what your husband is needing, because the Lord is showing it to you. It's not a matter of that you say, okay, I think he needs chocolate. That can always be done. But really what spiritual is concerned, that the spiritual side, that you can ask and say, okay, what is your husband, what is your wife really needing? And that you can bring them to that person. And then the last one is that we ask the Lord, how do you see me? How do you see myself? How do you see me, Lord? And the Lord is saying to us, we are number one. Each and every one of you, you're first. You're not second. You're first. You're very, very important to him. And if we understand that, and we make that part of our daily living, that we know that we are number one, that we are first in God's eyes, then it's so much easier to go into this world, because we've got that relationship with him then. We look from a different angle to this world. We're not going to look for an angle, what can the world give me? But then we can look from an angle, Lord, what do you want me to do? What should be done for the world? How can I contribute? What can I do? So that your plan, that your building can be built over here in Utrecht, that your building in Pretoria, with God's building where you people are staying, what can be done over there, so that we change it. We are really important. We are number one. We are always number one in God's eyes. Is God going to be number one in 2017 for you? Let's stand. Father, we come. First, we want to repent, because it's so many times that we think about ourselves and we think about material things. The spiritual is moved back. It's not so important. It's more the material, because that's what we think is bringing us to the next day. But Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you that we are number one, that we are first, that you look at us. You look to us with a smile and you said, it's my child. He's number one. She's number one. I love that child. And Lord, that that we're not turning our back to that, Lord, but that we look, that we can look to you and that we can say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we can hear that this afternoon, that we are number one in your life. And thank you that we can start on the 1st of the 1st this year, with a year ahead of us, by putting you first as well, Lord. First in our lives. Not a house, not a car, not a work, anything else. But you are number one, Father. And Father, reveal us, show us. Show us how you see not only me, because we know that we are number one in your eyes, but also the people around us, the area around us, Lord. How do you see it, that I can understand it, and that I can be part of your plan to make that change in this world, to make the change in this dark place where we are staying, to make the change in the area where we are staying, to speak into the spiritual life of my brother and sister, to speak into the spiritual life of those people sitting on the bus and the train with whom I'm sharing a desk, who are working next to me. Thank you, Father, that we want to be used for your kingdom. Thank you, Father, that we can be one, that we can be included. We're not excluded. We're part of you. Thank you that you're so close, that we don't have to wait for a certain time like a doctor with an appointment, but we can speak any time to you, and you're available. We can just stand in awe again this afternoon, Father, how great you are, and that we can be number one. Thank you, Lord, that my resolution for 2017 can be that you are first in my life. Thank you, Father. I think I'm speaking of all the people here this afternoon, that all of us can say you are number one, you're first, you're my resolution for 2017, Father. God first and nothing else.